Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Come with me to Jerusalem. It's winter, the fall harvest is complete, and the festivals are over. God's ordained festivals have been observed, and now there is the long, cold, wet winter until the spring festivals begin. If we were to follow Jesus in his time, we would still follow him to the temple, even though the fall sacrifices have been completed. God did not ordain a festival time during the winter to come to the temple. Perhaps he was aware of the difficulty of traveling to Jerusalem in the rainy season. But we follow Jesus to the temple anyway. He's going for the Feast of Dedication. And this is not a feast commanded by God, but a traditional historical celebration when Jewish people remember God's protection and provision for them. The Feast of Dedication, or Hanukkah, is a time when we have the opportunity to remember a great miracle of God. Do you know the only reference in Scripture to this popular Jewish holiday? It's not in the Old Testament at all, the most logical place you might think, but in the Gospel of John. In fact, it was in the passage that was read this morning. Then came the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. This covered patio at the temple was a pretty smart place to gather during a rainy season. And it was there Jesus was observing this feast. The events this festival commemorates occurred during the intertestamental time, the 400 years or so between the writings of the prophet Malachi and the birth of Jesus. And they tell the story of an occupation and are recorded in the apocryphal books of 1st and 2nd Maccabees. In 167 BC, Israel was occupied by the Syrians. The Syrians really wanted to bring Greek culture to the region, and the Greek culture recognized many gods. And the king of Syria, who controlled Israel, fancied himself as one of them. His name was Antiochus, and he called himself Antiochus Epiphanes, which means Antiochus, the manifestation of God. Now, of course, this offended the Jewish people who believe in one true God, and it wasn't him. And these people angered the ruler who believed himself a god. So Antiochus began to oppress the people by placing statues of himself in the towns, even throughout the countryside, and forced the people to bow down to his likeness. Worse than that, he placed an idol of himself in the temple, and even had a pig sacrificed on the altar to make the temple unclean so that the people couldn't worship there. Well, one of the priests in the temple, Mattathias, fought back. He fled to the hills of Judea to organize a resistance against Antiochus. And his son Judah, a born leader, brought many men to the hills to fight. Judah was nicknamed Maccabee, which means hammer, because the people had begun to see Judah as the hammer of God. In fact, many would come to follow Judah, believing him to be God's promised Messiah. So the warfare began, and the book of the Maccabees records the numbers, the types of warriors each side had for the battle. Judah's troops were outnumbered by the Syrians, poorly armed, but they assaulted this huge, well-trained, well-outfitted Syrian army, an army trained in the style of Alexander the Great that even had elephants that would come and trample Jewish soldiers. But the Syrians lacked the most important asset. They were no match for Yahweh, God of Israel. Needless to say, the battle was won. God led his troops to victory in a miraculous defeat of the Syrians. The people won their land back again. Once again, they could worship as they pleased. But there is a problem. Remember, the temple had been defiled. So the people began the process of cleaning up, rededicating the temple to sacred use. So with the temple cleaned, the altar consecrated, the lampstand righted, and the curtains hung, the dedication had begun. And so now here, tradition takes over from recorded history. Tradition says that after the war, oil was found to light the lampstand for one day only. It would take several days to prepare more oil according to the prescribed procedures, but God worked another miracle. The small amount of oil found, enough for one day, burned for 8 days, long enough to prepare the needed oil. The light was symbolic of God's presence, sustaining the people through their time of dedication. So let's join Jesus at the temple some 200 years later in a festival to remember this miracle. And the temple still stands. The lampstand still burns. But it seems to burn only through the benevolence of another foreign conqueror. The Romans now control this land. Judah the Maccabee, once hailed as God's Messiah, has been dead and buried for many generations. And the people are looking for another man to deliver them. To be more precise, they are looking right at Jesus. And they ask, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. God's people have longed for and waited for Messiah for thousands of years. They will follow him who promises them victory, but they've failed to recognize the real enemy over whom victory will be given. Mistakenly, they equated deliverance with physical deliverance from a human enemy. But that deliverance would only be temporary. A new conqueror would darken the horizon. God desired his people to be delivered from their forever enemy, and that enemy is the devil. Not through warfare or politics can this enemy be destroyed. It's only through an act of service. Humility and sacrifice are the weapons God used to bring deliverance. Only one Messiah gives victory over this enemy, and only one Messiah promises eternal life. And those who follow him will be delivered. The truth can be seen in the traditions of God's people. Service is central to the story of the dedication. A new lampstand with 9 branches, the menorah, has grown from the tradition of Hanukkah. 8 branches commemorate the miracle of the long burning oil, 1 for each day. But the 9th is a mystery. The Hebrew word here, shamas, means servant. The 9th candle is called the shamas candle, the servant candle. It's the candle that's used to light the other lights. We see in this servant candle the Christ, Jesus the servant, bringing his light into the world. Embedded in the Hanukkah menorah is the message of Jesus. Follow him, and he will bring the light of eternal life. Speaking in Solomon's colonnade, Jesus continues to teach, and he uses the metaphor of a shepherd and those who follow him as sheep. It's eye-opening to realize a shepherd is not the conqueror of his flock. He's a servant. He leads them, certainly feeds them, teaches them, if that's possible. If an enemy comes into the camp, the shepherd will sacrifice his life and well-being for the sake of the sheep, if that's what the situation calls for. It takes a humble man to serve sheep that way. Sheep often don't even know the protection they receive as it's happening. But you know what they do know? The shepherd's voice. It's a voice they follow. A voice that leads them to sustenance. A voice that leads them into the light. Returning to Jesus and his delayed arrival into Jerusalem for this Feast of Dedication, John tells us this is where the people ask Jesus to declare himself. And he does. He declares himself as the one for whom they have waited. His miracles, his teaching, attest to his authority. But like Judah the Maccabee, the hammer of God, who many thought was the Messiah, Jesus will also die. Jesus will die on the cross for his people's freedom from sin. He will die to give them and you and me eternal life. When Jesus proclaimed he was Messiah, Judah had been dead and buried for many generations. The Jewish people were low on hope. Then Jesus died too. However, unlike Judah, Jesus did not remain in the tomb. His burial was the pause between his battle with the true enemy, the devil, and the announcement of his victory when Jesus was raised from death 3 days later. No false Messiah had done this thing. His promised deliverance has come. But there are times in the winter of our lives when the testing seems too great. But it's precisely then that every light that we see, the lighted candles on the altar, lights of the Hanukkah menorah can even remind us that Jesus brings the light of eternal life with God's Spirit leading. Just as the light in the temple was seen as God's presence protecting His people, God's Holy Spirit has come to make us temples, housing God's glory. When that temple is attacked and the enemy seems on the verge of conquering, the light of the servant reminds us of His victory. And we marvel at His dedication to us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You are the light of the world. Shine Your compassion and glory on us all, that the world would be drawn to Your redeeming love. Amen.